Lights, camera, action, folks. Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown, Cardinals.
You know, that intro really has a lack of Colt McCoy in, doesn't it? It really should.
Absolutely. After the past couple of years, wow. Tom, we're get to sit here on a Victory Monday for the first time in what feels like forever.
Yeah, I mean, episode 152 of the British Beardground Breakdown as well, so, you know. Yet another week, yet another Cardinals game to talk about, but yeah, for once, a victory that we can actually enjoy. And for the first time, we can play this song on the podcast. Yeah. Really? I'd love to know what song that's actually from.
Yeah, I know. That's right, LA Rams. You just lost to Cliff Kingsbury.
It wouldn't have happened to Jalen Rams. He wasn't playing on Call of Duty all the time, though.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to get off that because he put up, the most receptions to given up by a single defender to a single receiver all year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's DeAndre Hopkins, what do you expect? But yeah, Jalen Ramsey needs to step it up a bit, you know, considering people think he's like the best cornerback in the league and, you know, Colt McCoy did that to him.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, what a game to come out from something that we were expecting to be garbage going into it with, obviously, you know, big news being that Kyler Murray was too injured to play. Same over at the Rams, actually, as well.
Yeah, I mean, they were down Matt Stafford, weren't they? But we were also down DJ Humphries. Byron Murphy wasn't playing either. You know, we got Hollywood Brown on the sidelines. You know, it was pretty much it. I mean, just looking at the offensive line, it was literally one guy from week one plus four random people.
Yeah, four guys off the street. I mean, yeah, this definitely feels like an equivalent to week eight Cardinals last year. With the level of injuries of, you know, starters and things like that, and including just seeing Kyler out for the week, very much has that same energy, but obviously not in as good a place as we were last year.
No, definitely not. I mean, what difference a year makes in the NFL? It's crazy.
Yeah, big time. And yet, you know, it may be another year and a totally different year, but we were still able to beat the Rams at home, which I very much like.
Yeah, whose house? Card's house, obviously.
Apparently so, yeah. At least in regular season football anyway. But as much as I'm really desperate to talk about the Cardinals game against the Rams this week, we've got sort of a new segment, I guess, because the Cardinals have been chosen to start off a sort of new show, which is an in-season Hard Knocks. Which I'm sure most people listening will have heard about at some point recently. But the first episode came out last week, and I thought it'd be fun to just kind of, you know, chat about how you found it, what you thought was good, what you thought was bad.
I mean, I just want to take this moment to appreciate the Hard Knocks theme tune and play it for everyone as an introduction to our Hard Knocks segment. And that's enough of that.
Yeah. We've gone from having no theme tunes some weeks to having three this week.
I know we've got other buttons as well that I may or may not use during the episode. I don't know. It just depends if I can be bothered, really. But
He's drunk with power, everyone.
People just think it'll make us sound amateurish, won't it? But who cares with a British Beardground Breakdown? Amateurish is our middle name.
Absolutely, like very much a definition of amateur for this. Good fun. I had a lot of respect for the the Hard Knocks productions and things like that. I think they're really interesting. It's good to see an insight into that. But actually, I think that this format may be just way better already, because, you know, it's obviously, it helps that it's the Cardinals and it's the team I care about and players I care about. But seeing it be in season where the stakes are a bit more clear, and, you know, the what's actually happening in the season with people who you know are going to play and make the team and things like that, I found that to be way more interesting than just seeing a bunch of, you know, guys off the street and maybe they'll make a practice team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you say, with it being the Cardinals, we obviously care about it a lot more. And, you know, if it was like the Cardinals doing the preseason version, then obviously we'd care a lot more about that as well, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. But I think it's, you know, it's quite interesting seeing not just the... Yeah, not just the preparation for the season, but the full season itself. It very much reminds me of, do you remember when they did All or Nothing a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, that was a good series as well. I mean, that was one of the things that got quite a lot of people into the Cardinals, you know, with that being the first series of that show.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great entry point to the Cardinals, and that was such a good season for them as well.
Yeah, and I mean, they come into this one for Hard Knocks, and what, we're 3-5 going into episode one, so... Exactly, yeah, completely
yeah.
different.
Yeah, it's definitely a you know, completely different kettle of fish. But, you know, picks up before the Seahawks game, so we're obviously, you know, there's obviously some lag, right? Because, you know, they need to know the result of the game for one thing, and obviously edit it down and choose what their storylines are going to be. But it was really interesting seeing, you know, coverage of the kind of preceding couple of weeks, seeing DeAndre Hopkins coming back and how all of that played out to get them to that, to where they needed to be to start that Seahawks game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with it being like in season, you know, we've got to be like really up to date with it all, because isn't it Tuesdays? No, it's not. It's Wednesday night, isn't it? It shows in America.
Yeah, so it was on, yeah, I think it must have been early Thursday morning or something like that that we were able to see it. Which, by the way, just, you know, there is no way, I believe, to legally watch it in the UK. It just doesn't exist. So pirating is the only option.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of our pirated version of it, like literally Thursday morning, it's like my day off work. So I was in the gym and you posted a WhatsApp group for the Facebook, for the Fantasy League.
Yeah.
And you were like, here's a link for Hard Knocks. So I was like, I'm going to download that straight away. It's literally like...
You did as well, because like an hour or two later, the original link was dead.
Yeah, and then I just obviously uploaded it privately to a random YouTube video like hosting page, which does have my name on. So, you know, the police do know where to come and look if anyone does press charges, but, you know, it is what it is. If they don't want us to pirate it, you know, let us watch it somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it feels like it just shouldn't be that hard. You know, like, again, don't make me jump through loads of hoops to do it either. But, you know, just have it available. Just post it to YouTube. Like, why do they care? You know, post it up a few days late or something like that.
Yeah, but no one wants to watch it a few days later. I want to watch it, like, now.
Yeah, very literally. True. I think next week's episode's going to be a lot of fun, you know, with a bit of reaction to the Rams win.
Yeah, and obviously the backstory of like, why is Kyler Murray not playing and why is he just hanging around on the sidelines, not apparently showing no emotion whatsoever when Zach Ertz got injured or whatever.
Well, he's, you know, he's got to prepare mentally for his Call of Duty tournament, of course.
Exactly, he's such a shithead, this Kyler Murray. Not a team player at all. Literally, but, no one, yeah. No one mentioned the fact that, you know, when Rondale Moore made his ridiculous catch in the fourth quarter, he was literally like the first person there shouting encouragement to him. But, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No.
That doesn't fit the agenda, does it?
No, it doesn't. But anyway, I think it'll be fun to see. It'll be fun to watch the build up to that and the reaction to like coming away with a win and stuff like that. Be fun to watch, you know, Colt McCoy come in and prepare too. But you know, the episode that we did get, I thought was really good. Obviously, we got a lot of backstory. We got a lot of scene setting for where the team is in the season at the moment.
And we got more like insight to Cliff Kingsbury's house, because, you know, we may as well practically live there. You know, we've seen so much of it.
Yeah. I think he just needs to put it up on Google Maps now, you know, like do one of those like 360 degree tours inside.
Yeah, with his massive lion picture.
You know, with the big lion. Yeah. That's what the symbolism is what he says. I found that very funny in the like Joker and Batman paintings in the movie room.
I mean, that movie room just looks ridiculous. Like, you could just go in there and watch. I mean, he probably does watch film, doesn't he, in there on his massive screen.
I wonder if he does, or if he just like saves all of that for only at the office, and then just like works on other stuff when he's at home, or just watches films or whatever.
I mean, it's obvious where he gets all of his play calling ideas from, isn't it? The giant screen.
Or the murder mysteries that he watches on a Friday night, apparently.
He's a character, isn't he, Cliff?
Yeah, it's you know, it's nice to see a bit of personality with that, and a bit more kind of humanizing stuff. And you saw that all over. Obviously, you know, we saw interviews with DeAndre Hopkins, who was just kind of coming back, and there was a lot of personality there. But I think, you know, the real standout has to be Buda Baker, right?
Yeah. Apparently he's tired of losing at home.
Yeah. I mean, that clip I saw everywhere before actually watching the program itself.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that, like, they put out as, like, sort of, like, a teaser for the episode.
Yeah, a promo.
Yeah, because it was literally on everyone. Like, NFL was tweeting it, Cardinals were tweeting it, everyone was retweeting the Cardinals. It was just everywhere, basically.
Yeah, but it's a great moment, you know, and it's nice to see that there is frustration as well. Like, you know, I'm you know, I never doubted that there actually was frustration and everything like that, but it's good to see, you know, in a supposedly or otherwise like private moment, that, you know, they really give a shit about stuff like the home record and all of that, which you know, the fans care about as well.
I mean, the crazy thing is, as well, that episode ends with Lee Schreiber saying, you know, Buda Baker's going to be out for like several weeks, you know, after apparently injuring his ankle. And then there he is, you know, doing Buda Baker things on the football field. He's just not human, is he?
It's unbelievable. Like, I mean, again, you know, if he wasn't one of your favorite players before, he has to be now, you know, and I think actually for most people, he would have been up there somewhere in their favorite Cardinals players.
I mean, you know, on the defense, we got a lot of like good players, but Buda Baker just stands head and shoulders. I mean, again, from that episode, you know, there was the part where the coaches were saying, you know, about how much effort Buda Baker puts in.
Yeah,
and
it
was basically the challenge to be more aggressive than Buda Baker. But is that even possible?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see just how much you would have to try to make that work.
I mean, it's a good test to have, you know, because obviously if you set him as like the standard and you have to be better than that, you know,
yeah,
you're going to be one hell of a football player to be better than Buda Baker.
Absolutely, yeah. excuse me. No, absolutely. Yeah, Buda Baker he's got the sort of chops on the field, and he's got the personality off the field to be a true leader.
He's the sort of guy you just want to keep in like Arizona forever, don't you? You know, being like a defensive version of Larry Fitzgerald.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, you need a like Larry Fitzgerald esque feel for him. Somebody who's just like a franchise player, someone who wants to stay there. And you know, it's odd because like in a way he's doing the same stuff physically as Tyrann Mathieu was doing for us when he was like, you know, the star safety. But it's just a totally different attitude that they have between the two of them.
Yeah, he's much less of a knob, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Same with Patrick Peterson as well. He's another one who you thought, you know, maybe he's going to retire in Arizona like after spending his whole career here and then, you know, he is burning all the bridges he can.
Yeah, just having a horrible time up in Minnesota as well. I suppose that they're doing okay at the moment. But anyway,
I mean, he did have like two interceptions on Sunday, but you know, we'd rather talk about the Cardinals game because you know, as that game was going on, our game was beginning, and you know, we all quickly flipped over the channel to watch the Cardinals versus the Rams.
Cardinals versus Rams at SoFi Stadium. It's a game that we went into. Obviously, when we previewed this game last week, we didn't know that Kyler was going to be injured. We didn't know that Sam Bradford was going to be injured. Matt Stafford. You know who I mean.
I know you meant, yeah, but, you know, someone would pull you off. And that could be me. I could be that person. Yeah,
fair enough. Anyway, we didn't know we were in for a battle of the backups.
I know exactly. Colt McCoy versus John Wofford. Was it Wofford? I don't know.
I heard it pronounced like six different ways by the commentary team alone. But yeah, John Wolford, however you want to say it, versus Colt McCoy. I know which one came off better in my book.
What do you mean, like the pronunciation or the quarterback?
Oh, the quarterback. It was the one that won because as we said way up top, Cardinals came out with a 27-17 victory, a scoreline which includes a garbage time touchdown for the LA Rams. So it was a good old fashioned drubbing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like last week I predicted, you know, it could either be like a 47-3 win for us or a 47-3 win for them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point it did seem like that because literally all they did score was 3 points.
Yeah. And also, you know, if we'd been able to find that groove we were in earlier, I don't doubt that we could have been, you know, obviously well into the 30s, if not into the high 30s.
I mean, it was a weird, like, opening to the game because obviously we won the kick-off. Like, we won the coin toss
and deferred as we do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they march down the field, score 3 points. We get the ball, march down the ball, back down the field, score 3 points. And the crazy thing is, we both use the exact same amount of plays to get the exact, I mean, same amount of yards. Like, yeah, how does that happen?
I guess it's like something that must happen eventually, but it's definitely like low odds for sure. Cardinals obviously coming in and... I think, you know, with a slightly more convincing drive, because the Rams one took, what, like nearly 7 minutes or something like that to get 3 points, whereas we were, you know, same number of plays, but a bit more cadence to it, I guess. A shame to come out with only 3 points at that, but it's our offense scoring in the first quarter, which feels like a good sign, you know, in this season.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially, you know, when it's a backup quarterback with, like, obviously the offensive line, like, looking at what we had Josh Jones at left tackle. We had Rashad Coward at left guard. I mean, obviously, Cody Ford came in and they, like, seemed to switch around every now and then. We had Billy Price at center, Lisita Smith, right guard, and Kelvin Beecham, right tackle. So, literally, from the week one starting offensive line, there was one player.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's shocking. Like, and it's been such a slow process getting to this point, I think. That it's a bit like boiling a frog. You don't quite notice until, yeah, you're completely tossed around and having a tough old time blocking and keeping your quarterback straight up. Although I will say, that for the majority of the offensive line, they did pick themselves up this week a little bit compared to before. I don't know whether that was the Rams having a hard time, rushing the quarterback, or whether it was, a quick release from Colt McCoy compared to Kyler Murray. But, you know, some of the Pro Football Focus grades are a lot better for some of those blockers.
I mean, yeah, I was going to bring that up because I saw a tweet earlier, but some of those grades are, like, insane. Obviously, Billy Price is shit, and he's still getting, like, a 60.
Yeah.
But Josh Jones, 65. Sean Harlow, 70. Cody Ford, 82.7. Kelvin Beecham, 84.2. And Rashad Coward, who literally we bought off the practice squad for this game, got 86.1 in pass blocking.
I mean, yeah, it's wild, and these are all guys who had really poor pass block records, you know, in the past couple of weeks as well. And I don't think, you know, I can't remember the exact numbers that we discussed, but, you know, most people, the highest blockers we had were in the, like, low 70s, and now pretty much everyone except for Billy Price is above that.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously we've had DJ Humphries being, like, the standard bearer for the offensive line throughout the season. But with him being out, obviously we missed him a lot.
Big time, yeah. You know, there's a reason he's one of the guys who comes in and gets paid the big bucks, right, on the offensive line, because he's just one of the people who drive that whole group. And yeah, losing him, I thought it was just going to be all over, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they seemed to change the game plan, obviously, with like someone called Aaron Donald on the defensive line.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously you don't want to give him time to get through the line, do you, to the quarterback?
Yeah, so I guess you might even, you know, choose your play calls to be something that's a bit more quick release for that purpose.
I mean, we seemed to see that throughout the whole game, didn't we? It was just basically Colt McCoy, 1-2, there, get the ball out. And, you know, it seemed to work because, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins had the game he had. Rondale Moore was excellent. Zach Ertz, you know, possibly could have been a big game for him had he not literally got injured on the only catch he made.
Yeah. I mean, even James Conner was out catching some pretty good balls as well.
I mean, probably the biggest miracle was obviously a bit later in the game when AJ Green managed to catch one.
Yeah, and one for a touchdown, no less. But yeah, I mean, like, so obviously, as you said, opening possessions scored 3 points each. But really, from that point on, the Rams just totally struggled. Our defense was able to hold them to that 3 points for a fairly long time.
Yeah, I mean, it went field goal, punt, 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 punt. And I think it was another 2 punts before anything else of note actually happened in the game.
Yeah, whereas all of a sudden into the second quarter, Cardinals are suddenly able to score 2 touchdowns. And when's the last time that they had a 2-touchdown quarter?
I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, it does help. Again, one of the strange things was the fact that the Cardinals made it to the 2-minute warning with all 3 timeouts intact.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's interesting because actually in the Hard Knocks, one of the things that Cliff Kingsbury was talking about, and I'm sure he's used the phrasing before as well, but he was talking about those self-inflicted injuries of bungled communication and penalties and things like that. But I feel like this game they really cleaned all of that up quite well.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few penalties here and there, but nowhere near to the extent that there has been like the last like basically the whole season.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it did pop up during the game that the Cardinals led the league in offensive penalties, which doesn't surprise us at all.
I think out of the last 5 years we've had that honor like 3 times. You know, it just seems to be a huge thing for this team, and I've got no idea why they can't really coach it out, because it predates Kingsbury as well. This was a problem even under Arians.
Yeah, I saw some, I think it was No Context Cardinals, they put out a graph showing like the penalties per year, like obviously under Ken Whisenhunt, under Bruce Arians, under that ill-fated 1 year with Steve Wilkes.
Yep.
And then they just shoot up massively with Cliff Kingsbury. And yeah, people say, oh yeah, that's a Cliff Kingsbury problem, isn't it? You know, can't control the players, he's a college coach and all that bullshit. But I don't know, maybe there is some truth to that. But like you say, it is the Cardinals' like self-inflicted wounds on themselves. You know, they're holding themselves back, beating themselves. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They just need to stop that, and maybe they actually do something. In the year. Well,
it's the kind of thing, maybe it doesn't like win or lose a game on that, but you know, it wins or loses a drive, and every drive has the potential to end in 7 points, right?
Yeah, exactly. But like when you're making those stupid penalties, and it's like, it, I mean, like it might nullify like a big like 20-odd yard gain, but instead you gotta go back 10 yards and be like 2nd and 20 instead,
and completely lose any momentum that you would have got from like a really nice play as well.
The amount of times we've seen the Cardinals do that, just lose count, don't you?
You do. But I mean, I got to say, this game felt like a better for it. You know, it felt like they'd cleaned up a lot of that. And you know, it's just a nice tight road game, especially up to the half. You know, going into the half leading 17-3, that's got to be a nice feeling for a team that's just not used to having more than one score lead.
I mean, we do need to talk about the final few minutes of the half because, you know, like you say, there was 2 touchdowns scored in it, and they were 2 really good touchdowns.
Yeah, very true.
Obviously, the first one came from James Conner when he ran the ball, is it like 4 or 5 yards untouched into the end zone, straight up the middle?
Yeah, it was great. It was a well-sold fake, I think. And, you know, just James Conner doing what he does best. That, you know, it was the sort of play you looked at it and you thought, that's going to be a touchdown. And it didn't matter if Aaron Donald grabbed him at that point. You know, he would have been able to track him 4 or 5 yards in for that touchdown because the rest of the way was so clear.
I mean, have you seen the breakdown of that play yet?
I've not. No, is there one floating around?
There's one, like it's a slow motion. You just see Rashard Coward completely dominating Aaron Donald on it, like literally on his own.
Right. I mean, that's pretty impressive for someone who was, you know, nowhere near a football field the other week.
I know, especially with the name Coward as well, to see him doing that. Stepping up to probably like the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, keeping him quiet on a play when you can get in, take a first touchdown, break that seal. That was pretty good. And what was the second touchdown in the half? Was that the AJ Green catch?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
But so, that came after, obviously, like, the Cardinals won the toss, defeated. Yeah. So, obviously, they're trying to get back-to-back possessions at either side of the half, aren't they?
Yeah, which is great.
But this game, they managed to get back-to-back-to-back possessions because of one Majay Sanders.
Oh, man, what a great way to turn the ball over, right?
Yeah, but I mean, what a stupid thing for the referees to do to blow that dead.
Oh, that was dreadful. It was so easily going to be a J.J. Watt touchdown at that point. And I'd love to see, you know, the justification for why it was blown dead at that point.
I mean, it makes no sense because obviously if it's not a fumble, you can just bring it back. Like, exactly. Why blow the play dead when obviously the ball's still live?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, just calling it like you see it there. I mean, I have sympathy for them because you gotta take the call when you see it. But, you know, there's no going back from blowing the whistle. Nobody's in imminent danger of getting hurt. Just let them play on.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, J.J. Watt could have, like, literally strolled into the end zone with that ball in his hand, and it would have been 17-3 going into the half. But
luckily, you know, we got a score out of it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, what a heck of a throw by Colt McCoy that was, and, you know, what an even better catch by A.J. Green, of all people.
Including a turnaround for it as well.
Yeah, I mean, he can turn around when he wants to. Just can't against Green Bay.
But yeah, no, brilliant catch, brilliant field placement, getting the feet down and, you know, reminding everyone that he at least one point was one of the best receivers in the game.
I haven't seen the thingy anywhere yet, though, but you know how they do a percentage chance of it being a completion?
Yeah,
I'd love to know what that was for that play because, you know, back corner of the end zone, he literally just gets both his feet down. That's got to be like... Less than 5% completion percentage.
Yeah, and he was in double coverage, I think, as well.
I mean, he was definitely in tight coverage with one person, but...
Yeah, I think I remember seeing another Rams jersey up in that corner as well, but I could be wrong. Maybe there was some other eye candy with another player moving around there, but brilliant catch, and definitely, as I said, going into the half with a multiple score lead, That's got to be a good feeling for a team like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, especially against the Rams, you know, in their own house, as they like to call it. Leading them 17-3. And obviously they even started booing before the half because of the score and, the, you know, the fickle nature of LA fans, what do you expect?
Yeah. Well, unless, you know, unless they're literally winning Super Bowls, the teams are dead to them, right?
Exactly. Like, no one cares for, like, you know, the Lakers or anyone like that when they're struggling, even though they're like one of the most decorated teams in the NBA. Like, if they're not winning, LA doesn't care.
But yeah, you know, obviously fans booing and stuff like that, that's got to feel good as an away team coming into that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously if it was the Cardinal Stadium, we could be saying it's Buddha, not booing. They're just cheering for Buddha Baker.
Yeah, it's the perfect excuse. We can just use it every time.
I mean, obviously, the second half, you know, Cardinals 2-score lead against LA and the ball to begin the second half. Sadly, they didn't do anything with it, though.
No, there was a bit more of sort of possession trading, and at the end of the third quarter, only the Rams managed to get a touchdown in, which is, I think, it's a shame because it would have been nice to kind of keep them touchdownless, at least outside of garbage time. But I think that was the Van Jefferson touchdown, or was that the rushed touchdown?
I think the last touchdown. I'm trying to think who was it that scored their touchdowns, because I think Jefferson got his in the fourth quarter. Not sure who got the third quarter one. Was it Darrell Henderson?
Darrell Henderson, yeah. He rushed it in. Another, you know, well, actually, it's something that's worthwhile talking about if we're going to talk about rushing. LA Rams total rushing for the game, 66 yards for one touchdown. James Conner's rushing for the game, James Conner alone rushing from Arizona, 69 yards for two touchdowns.
You just want to get 69 in there, didn't you? Just to say nice.
It was pretty nice. But yeah, like being able to beat an entire, you know, committee backfield with one guy was pretty good.
I mean, as well, everyone talks about the LA Rams having a certain wide receiver as like the biggest weapon in their arsenal. But at one point, Cooper Kupp had three catches for negative 1 yard.
And at one point, you mean the final stat line of the game?
He did have a catch or two afterwards, didn't he? Because he did get injured on one of the catches.
The stat line I'm looking at here has him listed at minus 1 yard on three receptions. He got targeted five times with a long of two.
I could have sworn, you know, when he got injured, that was a catch.
It could have been. It could be that the stat line I'm looking at here is wrong, but
is it still the stat line off my Twitter?
No, I'm looking at ESPN stat line here.
Huh? I thought they'd have like the full game log, because I'm sure he had more than three catches. Like, the time he was carted off the field.
I mean, either way, it's a very quiet game from him, and you know the Cardinals continue their run of keeping superstars quiet. You know,
and obviously also getting injured does help, I suppose.
Yeah, of course, but also it keeps their run of tight ends absolutely running all over them, at least by comparison.
I mean, they had a few catches here and there, didn't they? Was it Tyler Higbee?
To be fair, I mean, I think a lot of what I'm thinking of was that really long one that he got, where he had, nobody seemed to be able to tackle him down. I think he got 25 yards or something out of it. And it was funny to think, though, that the yards after contact he had was more than the last two LA drives to get put together.
Yeah, it was a weird one, like, you know, obviously, they were without their star quarterback.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone says Cliff Kingsbury's this offensive genius. You say the same thing about Sean McVay, and yet they put up that against us.
Yeah, and it's not like our defense was, you know... to be fair, our defense was relatively intact, you know, by comparison at least. And it's a good defense, but, yeah, you know, it's kind of strange to see 209 yards, but only getting 17 points out of it.
Yeah, and obviously they scored their touchdown in the third quarter. All we had to show from that basically was more DeAndre Hopkins owning Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
Because he just seemed to do that every single time they were targeting him.
Hopkins was just making magic happen, really, wasn't he? And similarly, one young Rondale Moore was doing the same thing all over the field.
I mean, that catch on fourth down, that was just insane.
It was, you know, one of those kind of magic moments when you're watching it and you kind of go like, wait, the ball should have just bounced off of him there, or it should have fallen down, and your eyes kind of follow where it should have been. It takes you a second to realize, wow, he's managed to like stick that left-handed catch on the off foot, grab it, make a football move, keep both feet inbounds. You know, there's a lot going on there mechanically.
It still wasn't the best catch we saw yesterday.
Which is nuts, isn't it?
That Justin Jefferson catch was just insane.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I would say that, but like literally in college the day before, there was I think it was a Notre Dame player. He literally caught the ball one-handed, pinned it against the receiver, and with his other hand, reached around, grabbed it with his other hand, and like plucked, like, it was literally a catch.
Like, I mean, it's that's insane. Definitely one that's... It's one that's going to go down along with like the helmet catch and, you know, Odell Beckham's big one-handed leaping catch and all of that stuff. Just one of those, you know, insanely athletic things to be able to do. And resourceful as well.
Yeah. The thing is, though, in that game, I mean, obviously it's not a Cardinals game, but it was on Red Zone or what, but literally Stefon Diggs made an insane catch of his own, and no one's talking about that one.
Yeah, bunch of... They come like buses, right? You know, just no really interesting catches for weeks on end sometimes, and then you just get a bunch of highlight-worthy plays all at the same time.
I mean, obviously the Cardinals have their own highlights, because going into the fourth quarter, they had the touchdown. Well, they play... to Rondell Moore, picked up so many yards on 4th and 3. Because obviously the Cardinals go for it on 4th and 3 with like a deep shot downfield. And for once, it actually came off.
Yeah, it's going to have to like work one of these times, right? And yeah, there it goes. It works.
I mean, they do say a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And I do think as well, like the reason that that worked was not because it was a great play. It wasn't like a, you know, absolutely genius play. It worked because of the athleticism.
And it was also capped off by yet another athletic run by James Conner. Who'd like, yeah. I think he took it from like, was it 15 yards out or something and then dived into the end zone.
It was, yeah, it was just, you know, full body momentum, excellent work, excellent mechanics, and yeah, able to take it in for a touchdown for Arizona.
And then we weren't left without any more highlights because, you know, we could have had another pick six in this game, or like another pick six from the defense this season. Unfortunately, yeah, Antonio Hamilton didn't have any hands on that play.
It's a shame because that's like, it was very nearly two pick sixes in the same game.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the play, couple of plays after, like they managed to move the ball a little bit, but then Buda Baker, with his dodgy ankle and everything, managed to come up with the interception after a bit of a ricochet off of Mark Sanchez's best friend, Mark Ben Skoronic. Thankfully, he wasn't there to highlight his every single move on every single play.
Yeah, thankfully. But no, Buda Baker putting himself in the right place at the right time. What more can you say? You know, just a guy who makes his own luck.
And yes, he's still been denied that touchdown. One day he'll get one.
One day, and it will be worth the celebration when he does. But yeah, hugely well played. And again, like I think, you know, that could have easily been a pick six there as well, actually. You know, it could have easily been something that was taken all the way to the house. But yeah, great turnover, great field position for the offense to come back out. And I do think that although there wasn't a touchdown scored on that drive, I think that, you know, the focus at that point was more on keeping the clock ticking down.
Yeah, I mean, we did end with another field goal from yet another different kicker this season.
Yeah, the fourth different kicker we've had.
And yet another person wearing number 15 who passed around like currency, that shirt at the moment.
It really is, isn't it?
Anyone with a Michael Floyd jersey would be happy because, you know, they could have had like a couple of weeks of use out of it.
I've still got mine somewhere.
I know, that's why I mentioned it.
Anyway, yeah, another field goal put through at that point to make it, what, 27-10, pretty insurmountable lead. And I think we gave it back to the Rams with, what, like 3 minutes left on the clock? Just under 3 minutes?
Yeah, and obviously we were confident enough to start the player of the game poll because it was literally game over at that point.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, obviously we then essentially let them take down a garbage time touchdown, but it just gave us the ball back and we're able to kneel it out. But, yeah, player of the game. I don't think this was ever going any other way, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there were four people up for it. I mean, some people did say Buda Baker, but I didn't put him on the list. He wouldn't have won it either way, to be honest. No one would.
Yeah, well, the runners-up this week, if you like, were DeAndre Hopkins, Rondell Moore, and Myjai Sanders, who all, in fairness, got some of the vote. But, you know, our winner was always going to be our winner.
Yeah, Colt McCoy with 53% of the vote. And now the starting job for the Arizona Cardinals, if you listen to certain people.
Yeah, according to all of that stuff. But no, I mean, I do think, I think Colt McCoy won player of the game for us last time he had to come in and sub as well.
I think he won it twice, didn't he? Because he had the like big winning, he had the win against Seattle.
Yep, and he
beat someone else as well. And I'm sure we gave him player of the game that time as well, because that's just what we do.
Yeah, I think he won two out of the three games he played for us last year, and won one in the the player of the game both times, which is pretty cool. And you know, the great thing is that we do have a good backup quarterback, and that's something that's, you know, very, very valuable in a situation like this.
That's the thing, though. He's a backup quarterback for a reason.
Yeah, he is. He's the, you know, I don't entertain any of this stuff that says that that was him competing for a slot on the starting roster. No, not a chance. That's not what he's there for, and I don't think that's what he wants either.
Well, I mean, like they were saying all the time in the commentary, whenever Jonathan Vilmer wasn't making completely inaccurate references to Gwen Stefani's music, did no one pick up on that? And he said that she'd collaborated with the Black Eyed Peas, but that's literally never happened.
Maybe he's got secret tapes.
It bothered me, that's all. I had to tweet it out, and I wasn't the only person that noticed, because, you know, when we're actually winning a game, people can chill, I suppose. You know, not be complete, like, just hashtagging Firecliff, Firekind, Bench Kyle, and all that garbage.
I'm sure people were still doing it. You know, people who had these, like, set up already.
I mean, we got to put out the You Just Lost to Cliff Kingsbury video, so that's all that we care about, really.
Yeah. But I guess that we have... I don't think we've got really anything else to talk about from the game itself, anyway.
I mean, we do have the fact that Kyler Murray is now 1-2 since the new Call of Duty came out.
Yes.
That technically, even although he didn't play.
I was going to say, he didn't play, but at least we can stop with that joke.
Jalen Ramsey, however, is 0-3 since it came out.
Just saying. Yeah. And again, I would like to reiterate giving up the most individual yards to an individual player.
Per Next Gen statistics, that's the most receptions allowed by a single defender to a single receiver in the last two seasons. Eight catches on 10 targets for 83 yards. Sadly, not a touchdown, but, you know, we got the win. We're now 2-11 against Sean McVay. What more can you ask for?
And speaking of 2-11, an opposite of that stat, the Cardinals are 11-2 on the road since 2021, which makes them the best road team in the NFL.
It's a good job they got a road game coming up this next week, then. Technically, speaking, I suppose it's on the road, even though it's technically a home game. It's
technically a home game, but very much a road game.
It's in a foreign country, so they're not clearly at home, are they?
Yeah, exactly. But that'll be a fun one to watch for sure. But we can talk about that maybe after we've got through our fantasy segment.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's been a mixed bag as well with fantasy this week. You know, Dynasty League, awful, going to 3-7. Yet, Birdman Bowl, possibly going to 7-3. But I don't want to jinx it because my opponent has... Actually, no. I was going to say they have the game for Monday Night Football, but San Francisco played last night, didn't they? Therefore, I've won.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm 7-3 in the Birdgang Bowl. Which, nice. You know, fair enough. I'll take the reverse. So I might actually win the Birdgang Bowl this year, legitimately. Who knows? That's the aim anyway.
I will definitely not, because I'm 1-8, soon to be 1-9. Just having an awful time with a team that's fallen apart. Which is a shame, because I've got like some decent talent on the squad, but like, you know, Justin Herbert, last year's fantasy darling, up against Justin Fields, it's never going to go. So, you know, it's not even that much fun to tank there, because at least in the Dynasty League, if I tank a number one, whereas in Dynasty, you know, I'm 8th, 4-5, and unless I get an absolute miracle from Dallas Goedert, tonight I will be losing this game as well.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Birdgang Bowl as well, I was able to not even start DeAndre Hopkins this week and still win.
Oh, how did you manage that, or what was your?
I mean, I thought, you know, it's Colt McCoy. I don't think he'll target DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, obviously he'll target DeAndre Hopkins, but I was expecting Jalen Ramsey to play a bit better. So I thought, you know, I'll start someone else and hope for the best. And thankfully it paid off. Or fortunately it paid off, I suppose.
Yeah. It would have been nice to have Hopkins on, but I guess he also didn't score any touchdowns as well.
No, but I mean, with it being PPR, he did score nearly 20 points.
Yeah.
But I mean, I won 150 to 117, so it doesn't make much of a difference, does it?
Yeah. It's not like a close one.
Just put out the thingy. Stop, he's already dead meme.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the Pick'em League, I had a horrible week. I only got 5 points. Soon to be 6, though, because I'm pretty sure that the Eagles are going to be able to beat the Commanders. But I guess 5-6 points is what I deserve for picking against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, I picked for the Cardinals this week, and so I reap the rewards and have 9 points.
Oh, that's a really good week.
I know.
What's your total points?
Total points now is 84.
Oh man, I'm 78, which is, and I assume you've picked the Eagles as well.
No, I want to lose tonight, so I'm going for Washington and their 2%.
I get, like, I'd love to have it if it if you got more points for picking against, you know, against type or whatever. I think that'd be a good system for that.
I mean, so the teams that let me down. Reward, you know? Teams that let me down this week were the Falcons, who lost to the Panthers.
Mm-hmm. That's Saints, a hard one to call, though.
Saints let me down because the Steelers managed to score a few more. Dallas let me down, and also the Raiders. But yeah, I mean, that's my fault for choosing the Raiders.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the cops coming to get me for not picking the Cardinals.
It's only fair, you know. You should literally be picking them every single week, regardless of who they're playing. It's only a point at the end of the day.
I should be a homer. I should be a homer about it. But when I'm 6 points behind you, I'm going to need to, you know, step it up a bit.
Yeah. I mean, that means we are down to our game preview for this next game. And like we alluded to before, it's a home game. But not a home game, because they're away in a different country, and it's neither here nor Germany.
Yeah, sadly. Unfortunately, it's not one of the European games, because otherwise that would be a pretty fun one to go out and you know, see. It is, in fact, instead going to be played in Mexico City. During the first game in Mexico City, obviously they played a couple there, you know, relatively recently in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, there was one year where they had to cancel it, didn't they? Because someone put the wrong type of paint on the pitch. Or was that the Hall of Fame game? I think it was possibly the Hall of Fame. I think it was they cancelled the game in Mexico because the field conditions were dreadful.
Yeah.
It was like playing on a beach or something, it looked like.
Well, I believe it's all set to go ahead so far for next week. So hopefully that all comes about. But that'll be a fun matchup, I think. You know, the 49ers versus the Cardinals, obviously they're second in the NFC West, whereas we are now third, actually. That's something I forgot to mention from the previous game, which was the absolute joy of beating the Rams and sending them to the bottom of the table.
I mean, but like we said on Hard Knocks, you know, we could go back to that again. You just have to look at the next three games, which was the Seahawks, Rams, and the Niners, three divisional games, and, you know, win a couple of them. Catapults you up the division table, doesn't it? Just because of how close the division is.
And it's a double whammy as well when you win a divisional game. You know, you win one, but they lose one as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do have the added sort of bad thing here. The fact that it's the Monday night game.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, actually very early Tuesday morning for us, so 1:15 in the morning.
But the positive is that I think Channel 5 show them games, so at least we can watch it on terrestrial TV.
Oh, that'll be fun, actually.
Yeah, I won't have to watch it on a tiny screen anymore.
Yeah. Watch it on the big screen just at, you know, 1:15 in the morning, on a Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, rather.
Yeah, you know, when there's work next day as well. But who cares? It's Cardinals.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple of very early morning games coming up in the next few weeks. So we've got the 49ers, and then we've got the Patriots on the 13th of December.
I know, it's just, I mean, we don't care really about them being prime time, but at least it's not every single week, you know. We're not like the Chiefs or the Cowboys, are we? We're not there every single week, thankfully.
Do you remember the year when we were winning everything and you know, the second half of the season adjusted to us being in prime time all the time?
Yeah, it's just flex the Cardinals here and there. And it's like, no, don't flex them. I want this 6 o'clock game. Yeah, but I want to play at 9 o'clock.
Exactly. Like, please flex them to only ever be in that 9 o'clock schedule so I can watch Red Zone, and then I can watch the Cardinals, and then I can go to bed at a normal time. That would be the, you know, the ideal situation with that.
But sod it. Work will have to just make do with us being a bit tired for the next, like, couple of weeks. They won't notice. It's like the pre-Christmas lull anyway, so...
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this game, I've seen the Niners have opened up as 7.5-point favourites for this game.
Which is odd.
They're the away team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether they would adjust for the sake of the fact that neither of them are really the away team. But, I mean, so the, I was looking at scoring differentials earlier. So across the season, San Francisco's net points are 35 in the positives. So they've scored 35 more points than they've conceded, whereas the Cardinals are almost the exact opposite. They're 28 in the negative of net points. So, you know, the Niners can score a lot when they want to.
I mean, obviously they've got the weapons to do it, haven't they? You know, we're trading for Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Elijah Mitchell, you know.
Yeah.
Embarrassment to riches for that offense, but, you know, they've also got Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, so you don't have everything their way.
Jimmy G. It's been a while since we've faced Jimmy G anyway.
I mean, yeah, the last time we played the Niners, it was their supposed franchise quarterback, wasn't it? Trey Lance. And
it was, yeah.
We saw what happened to him when he tried to run on Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, it was just there was nothing happening there at all for Trey Lance, but Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, you know, not one of the league's favored best quarterbacks or anything like that, but he is a seasoned professional, and he has led them thus far to a winning record, which I don't think we've had a winning record at any point this season.
Jonathan, rub it in, though.
Well, that's, you know, so the Niners are 5-4. They've obviously had a bye week as well. Cardinals are 4-6. So a win here would take us to at least the same number of wins, though not the same record.
Yeah, I mean, we have scored more points than them going into this game, 250-298. So that's something, at least.
Yeah, I mean, we have played one more game than them as well, but like 32 points, you know, in that one game, that's a reasonable scoring rate.
Exactly. So, you know, sub to the Niners. It's actually beat them, that's the main thing, but it's going to be tough, you know, like, will we have Kyler Murray back? Who knows? Will DJ Humphries be back? Will Byron Murphy be back? Will Hollywood Brown be back? I don't think so.
I doubt it. But at least, like, I'll tell you something for free. I wouldn't put Hollywood Brown in and, like, risk him in a game when you didn't have Kyler Murray back yet. You know, if you could wait one more week and have Hollywood be that bit more healthy, but then also be able to put Kyler in the same game, I think I'd do that rather than just put him back in, you know, it's like slightly prematurely.
I think we are possibly like still a couple of weeks away from even the most conservative estimate. So,
Yeah. It's not happening.
More likely be like around of our bye week sort of time or Thanksgiving, that sort of time, I think.
Oh, man, it feels like such a late bye week this year. I mean, it is a late bye week, you know.
Well, it is, isn't it? It's like week 12.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so late. And, you know, yeah, very much feeling it right now, the late bye week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we could do with a bit of time. I suppose we do have, like, the extra day, don't we? Although that probably will be travel time to Mexico.
Yeah.
Even if you could just hop over the wall, can't we, and be in Mexico.
I'm sure that plenty of it will be game time decisions. You know, plenty of game time decisions to be made on who's going
to. Kingsbury wouldn't like to use that word, though, surely.
Nah, I don't think so.
No, like, he uses it every single press conference multiple times. Cliff Kingsbury bingo.
So much so that you've I see you've started using the Simpsons GIF of say the line Bart.
I do need to like do a crappy Photoshop of that, I think. So. We put Cliff Kingsbury's face on bar. That could be my like thing to do possibly later on after we finish recording, which we nearly have done.
Yeah, well, actually, I guess really, you know, what else is there to say about this game other than I feel like, you know, the Niners are the obvious favourites here. They've got a better record. They've defensively let some of the fewest points in the NFL in all season. And... you know, they're in a good position to win it. But that being said, you know, Cardinals coming off of this win against the Rams, potentially, hopefully going to get a few of their injured players back. It's technically a home game. It's going to be a bit of a weird one anyway. It's a very, very winnable game.
I don't think it's winnable per se, but I think they got a chance. You know, obviously their defense is the number one defense in the league, but our defense isn't exactly slouch either. So I think it could possibly be like a really low scoring game that we'll be thinking at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, like, why the hell are we up here watching a 9-6 game or something like that?
Yeah, I could see that. I
mean, that's not my prediction, by the way.
In that case as well, you know, if it is going to be a low scoring, high kicking game, which it very well could be, that's going to depend on who's healthy at kicker for us as well. That'll be a fun puzzle to solve.
I mean, hopefully Matt Prater should be. I mean, he was dinged up with his hip, but he also had what they called an illness, which, I mean, it could be a flu, it could be COVID, it could be anything. It could be Legionnaires disease, who knows?
It could literally just be like a dicky tummy, you know.
Matter of scurvy or gout or the plague. Fuck this. Bird flu. We're not here to diagnose, though. So whatever it is, it kept him out.
Yeah, it kept him out indeed. I guess we're getting to the point where we could start trying to make some sort of prediction.
I think we'll have to, because we're just babbling on about shite now, aren't we?
Yeah, we're just walking. It's because we talked too long about the Hard Knocks at the start of the episode. And too many songs as well.
Exactly, too much Hard Knocks theme tunes. It is a good theme tune.
Yeah, it's a great theme tune. But that being said, I'm gonna force you to make your prediction first this week.
Okay, so I'm going to go with a 9-3 win. No, not. It's not 9-3. I think there will be a lot of kicking in it, though. So I'm going to go for something like a really weird score. So like 19-24. Yeah, 24-19. What do you mean, who for? You don't know who you're asking here. To the Cardinals, obviously.
24-19. All right. In that case, I'm going to give the Cardinals 15. That comes from 3 field goals and a touchdown with a missed extra point.
Bloody Matt Prater.
Yeah, exactly. Just hard shank left. Give the Cardinals 15, and I'm going to give the Niners 19. So,
boo.
I know. I do think, you know, this would be a huge, huge win to get this season, but this season is not one where we're going to get wins against teams who are actually playing really well. Got to take those wins where we can get them, especially with such an injured offensive line, potentially no Kyler Murray, all that stuff.
I mean, yeah, like we will have to stay tuned to like see who's on the injury report this week as they head to Mexico. But yeah, I mean, it'll be a fun game, you know. The Germany game looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think... you know, it's nice to have a bit of novelty as well with, you know, with something like that, especially, you know, a game like the Niners Cardinals, which obviously we see twice a year anyway, just to see something to shake that up a little bit. That's good fun.
I just want a sombrero now, obviously, because going to Mexico.
Oh, man, I'm going to make some nachos or something like that to watch it with.
Yes, nachos at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, absolutely.
Completely normal thing to do.
Be a nacho hat of some kind.
That's what I need. Yeah, just in case I need to eat my hat one time. See all these ridiculous things I put out there on the internet.
All these insane predictions. Right, let's finish ourselves up so that we can, you know, get away and start preparing and start reading the injury reports.
Yeah, so as always, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Bird Gang. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang and the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmail.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review wherever it is you get your podcast from. And don't forget to share it, like it, subscribe, and review it and all that sort of stuff, which no one ever listens to because you never get this far on the podcast anyway.
Yeah, we start putting out a prize here or something, some sort of bounty. But anyway, we will see you back this time next week for a review of the 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals playing all the way in Mexico.
Well, I mean, technically it won't be this time next week because we wouldn't have even played this time next week.
Yeah, well, this time next week, meaning when they listen to the recorder.
Ah, but they'll never know when it was recorded, because we don't know either. So until then, thanks for listening, and We'll see you again next week.
We'll see you next week. Goodbye now. Yeah.
Just gotta end that one last time.